Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 120, the stanzas 3 and 4. A light and truth, my way attending, send thou forth to be my guide, till thy holy mount ascending, I within thy house abide. And what follows, Psalter 120, the stanzas 3 and 4.
scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Gospel according to John, thereof the 15th chapter, the first 16 verses. But first, we'll read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We recall John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and in my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love had no man than this, that a man may lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whosoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Until thus far.
Oh, let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. A most holy, a most righteous, everlasting, faithful, a just and merciful God in the heavens, It is so necessary and so indispensable that each time when we attempt with our unclean lips, that we may receive from Thee a deep impression unto whom we speak, a word that were clothed with honor and with majesty, but also a deep and an abiding impression whom we are, sinful creatures of the dust, transgressors from the womb, who transgress all Thy commandments, an impression of our lost condition by nature, but also an impression that Thou art able and willing to save to the uttermost. Then also in this evening hour, when by renewal Thou granteth the moon and the sky, that declares how mighty and how faithful Thou art, and all, Lord. Then Thou was written in Thy word that they shall fear Thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. It tells us that the King is still gathering the church, but there shall come a time for us when we shall behold the last full moon, and that we shall not see another when we shall be in eternity. O Lord, and may it please Thee to work mightily, lovingly with Thy Holy Spirit also in this evening hour. Thou knowest how that each and every one has come up. May there have been children, our youth, the middle-aged and the elderly ones that have come up with a need, with a prayer, with a thirsting after Thee, the living God, Lord, that is not found on the acre of the natural heart, but that is a gift of Thee. A word is missing. Wilt work it in this very hour, and where Thou was worked it also by renewal, then Thou was promised that there shall be food in Thy house, Lord. And may it please Thee to convert what is unconverted. Thou was promised that by the foolishness of preaching that Thou shalt save some, when it may be accompanied by Thy Holy Spirit. And may a people be placed in their guilt, in their missing, in their unconverted state in this evening hour, and that they may be given to cry unto Thee mightily where they need to be saved, Lord. Impress upon all our hearts what a terrible thing it is to be an unconverted sinner under Thy wrath. O Lord, Thou hast begun that good work. O wilt Thou continue it, and Thou shalt continue it, because Thou shalt never forsake the work of Thy own hands, but wilt Thou grant those further exercises, and not to be satisfied with an uncovering and with a missing, and to receive many tokens, a reformation, but that we learn that justice needs to be satisfied, that we need a hiding place. Wilt Thou reveal that hiding place, grand exercises concerning the same, a well to draw into that hiding place, and that thou may instruct, that thou may comfort, that thou may guide and lead further into the mysteries of salvation. Lord, we commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. All the congregations in this part of this large country, also the congregation which has been instituted, grant special tokens of thy favor in this evening hour. Remember the theological school, the students, the instructors. Remember the persecuted church. Remember the Jewish people. Well, thou remember our mission field, and thy servants, the team, and remember their families. We remember our country, where elections have been planned in the near future, in 8 days when thou granteth it, and may it be or become a matter of prayer, that thou may yet show mercy, and not let us continue on our downward spiral to destruction, but that leaders may yet be chosen who have learned to bow their knees. We remember all the needs in the midst of the congregation, and those that have come home from the hospital. Well, to grant further healing, further strengthening. May the callings be sanctified. Remember the parents with their little one still in the hospital. Well, to uphold and strengthen them. Well, to remember all the mothers with the unborn. Then in this week, different ones hope to remember that thou wast added a year unto their years. A widow, the oldest member of the congregation, two middle-aged widows, and an older mother. Lord, wilt thou remember them all? Above all, be mindful of their never-dying souls. Wilt thou grant a special day, even when the thoughts do multiply, and those empty places shall be experienced in a special way. May it please thee by thy grace to be a husband unto them. Remember all our elderly ones, those in the care home, then in the pastime, then many empty places has come in the midst of that family. May the callings be sanctified. And remember all our mourning ones. Remember all under the physician's care, those that have sick, seriously sick relatives. We may humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, that the means may be blessed. Remember the crosses, the burdens. Remember all the family circles. May love abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children. A word has become different, Lord. A wealth of grand is searching and a bowing under the authority of thy word, and a special place at thy footstool. We remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Wilt thou be mindful of the member that is under church discipline, O Lord? And may it please thee to grant a place of humility, of repentance, while it may yet and while it can yet. Well, remember all those that could not come up in this evening hour. And wilt thou remember all those that have come up, ah, Lord. Go then from bench to bench and from heart to heart. Open thy word for our hearts and thy word and our hearts for thy word. Bless the manifold means of grace in the family circles, in the church. Well, I remember the consistory where a time of manifold labors is upon us. Well, thou help from day to day, also in this week, when house visitation may commence. May there be souls that may tell of that need for a hiding place, of exercises concerning that hiding place, but also a finding of that hiding place. Oh, Lord, then it shall be good. Well, to grant unto the brothers what is necessary to that end, ears to listen, the spirit of discretion. Well, to remember and help all the family circles. Lord, wilt thou grant a heart to acknowledge thee for all the good things which thou hast left in our midst in the day of tomorrow, a special day has been set apart when we hope to come up to thy house to acknowledge thee. May it be a special day, but, O Lord, thou hast said in thy word, given thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we come up to thy house, and then it must also be a house of thanksgiving to that end. We need a praying and thanking high priest at the right hand of the Father. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help. Wilt thou anoint with fresh oil from above, and wilt thou grant a voice to speak? May there be many ears and hers. May the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name, ah, Lord. When we return to our dwellings, may it be experienced it was good to be in thy house. May it be profitable for our souls. And may it not have to testify against us in the day of days. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 67, the five stanzas. Lord, to me thy ways make known, guide in truth and teach thou me. Thou art my Savior, art alone, all the day I wait for thee. Psalter 67, the five stanzas. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 7, only question and answer number 20. Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? Answer, no. Only those who are engrafted into him and receive all his benefits by a true faith. Lord's Day number 7, question answer number 20 speaks of who are saved by the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. With three thoughts, not all who have fallen in their covenant had Adam. In the second place, only those who are engrafted into Christ Jesus. And in the third place, all those who receive Christ's benefits by faith, who are saved by the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all who have fallen in their covenant had Adam. Secondly, only those who are engrafted into Christ Jesus. And in the third place, all those who receive Christ's benefits by faith. Beloved congregation, we have heard in the past week from Lord's Day number 6 that there is a mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that can save to the uttermost. No impossible cases for the Lord. No sinner that has sinned too long. No sinner that has sinned too great. No sinner too black. And no sinner too vile. What an encouragement that is for souls that at times are given to fear that they have sinned too much. Then in this morning hour, then we have heard of a precious hiding place, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have told you that there is still room in that hiding place for us and our children. And now in this evening hour, then we are called to examine, based upon God's holy word, according to the instruction of our Heidelberg Catechism, who that hiding place is for. Has that been your question, congregation, in this day? Have you thought about it, boys and girls? About that great need of that precious hiding place against the wind? Because if we do not receive a place by grace in that hiding place, then we are lost forever. What a solemn word that word lost is. And even more solemn, lost forever and forever. And now concerning that hiding place, and then according to the scriptures, then all may come. We have mentioned the Ark of Noah in this morning. And then Noah has preached about the need for that Ark, that the Lord would send a flood. And then in that Ark there would be safety. And then all the people were invited to come. thus all may come. But through our deep fallen Adam, none will come. It was the same as in the time of Noah. It was on account of unbelief, on account of the fear of man, that there were fathers and mothers and young people that thought, if we now walk into that ark alone, what will my friends say? Then there was also the matter, because in that ark, when Noah has preached that he must go in that ark, then that first world realized that Noah, in due time, would enter into that ark. And then there were many people, or the world, that thought maybe Noah was too strict. From Noah, you may not do anything. That is not true. That is the voice of the devil, congregation. And thus they had no desire. They had not made that good choice of a Ruth. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And when the Lord has come unto Noah, that means that the Lord's presence in a special way would be in that ark, and therefore by nature none will come. But now the wonder. By free and sovereign grace, by the work of a triune God, then there shall be a people that shall come. Because I read in Isaiah 43, verse 13, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it? We have a testimony, boys and girls, in the sky in this evening. When it is clear, then you shall see that beautiful full moon. The faithfulness of the Lord. And I read in Psalm 72, verse 5, that they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. Thus then in this evening, then we must lay that matter before the Lord. And now there is ask in this Lord's Day, because in Lord's Day number 6, then we have heard of a way through that mediator that Zion shall be saved. And now in this Lord's Day, the concern is because in daily life, when our neighbor has something very beautiful and very profitable, or when our neighbor has a beautiful crop that it is outstanding, then many times it is the question, where and how did you obtain it? And of course, how much did it cost? And now in this Lord's Day, then the instructors are given to declare how that precious blessing of receiving a place in that hiding place may be obtained. And then in question 20, then there are actually two questions included in that question. Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? And then in the first place, the question is, has the Lord Jesus Christ, when he has come upon this world to save sinners, and he has hung on that cursed cross, has he come to save all people? And then the second question, will all people be saved? And then it is necessary and profitable that we add a few questions, and may those questions be impressed upon all our hearts. Because in this evening hour we are called to consider who shall be saved. And then we must turn in unto ourselves, shall we be saved? And even a stronger question, Am I saved? How is that now, congregation? Has the Lord now begun that good work? Has it now become different in our lives? Have we learned to be a missing and a seeking people? Have our desires changed? Does our heart go out after the Lord, His service, His communion, and His day? Has God's house, has that become the best place in our life? Have we learned that we need a hiding place, but not to rest in that knowledge? Seems in our days that there can be a resting of a knowledge of our misery with all the tokens of the Lord's favor, and that it comes to such a standstill. But in natural life, boys and girls, you can realize it. If a great storm comes upon us, a snowstorm, and we are traveling, then it is a great privilege and a great blessing when on our way, even more so when we are lost, and we feel that we are becoming very chilled, when we in the distance may see a hiding place, our home. That grants hope and encouragement. But tell me, boys and girls, is it now enough to see that house and our home? And then you shall say no. Then we must still walk a little further, and that we must come through the door, and that we may come in our home, and that our mother may and father may take care of us. It is true. When we may see that hiding place, that grants such a joy and such an expectation, and then it can seem that we are in that hiding place in our home already, but the necessity that we are brought in that hiding place. Are all men then, as they perished in Adam, saved by Christ? We have heard in Lord's Day number 5 that the instructor was given to begin that Lord's Day with sins. And now by renewal in this Lord's Day, in that question, then it is a confession according to God's word that all men included in our covenant in Adam, that we are all lost, that we perished in Adam. And then the question is whether all that people that are perished in Adam, whether they are saved by Christ. Then it is clear in the scriptures that not all people will be saved. The sovereignty of the Lord. A natural man can and shall never bow under that sovereignty. And then when this question is asked, then maybe there are people that are thinking already about the doctrine of election. And what a stumbling block. Oh, let us be honest, congregation. Who has not struggled with that doctrine? At least if we have an impression of the truth of God's word. Boys and girls, young people and older ones, who has not struggled with that doctrine? And what a stumbling block it can be. Many times when the Lord begins that good work, then the devil comes with that doctrine. But not only for where the Lord has begun that work, but also with the unconverted. And then the devil can tell us, if you were not chosen, and what a hard God. to bypass mankind. If you were not chosen, then it does not matter how much you pray and read your Bible. Never leave our place empty in church. Then it shall all be in vain, because you are a reprobate. But now in this Lord's Day, the instructors do not begin with that doctrine, but they speak of the fruits of election. And I read in Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, that the secret things belong to the Lord, and the revealed things to us and our children, that we may remember His commandments to do them. The election that belongs to the secret things of the Lord. And tell me, congregation, if there was now no election, if the Lord had not chosen a church to be saved for eternal life, then it would be hopeless for us and our children. Then not a single soul would be saved. Then all of us would receive a place in hell. But now, because the Lord has chosen a church, and the Lord is still gathering that church, by word and by spirit, there is still hope for us and our children. And the Lord has said, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. And thus not to begin with the secret things that we do not do in daily life neither, right, farmers? Then in the springtime, when the Lord grants opportunity, how diligent we are to plant and to take care of the crops, and then we use the means. It is so likewise in the realm of grace. And then it is clear from the scriptures that not all people shall be saved. Matthew 7, the broad way, many that walk thereon, the narrow way, a few that find it. In Matthew 22, verse 14, many are called, but few are chosen. And yet, the Apostle John, on the island of Patmos, in a vision, then he was given to look into heaven, and there he saw a multitude that no man could number, out of all nations, tongues and peoples, with long white garments, with palm branches in their hand, singing the praises of the Lord. Thus, a church that must and shall be gathered. John 6, verse 37, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, for the people that may come to that hiding place with a burden of transgression, as poor beggars, search the Bible, congregation. Oh, was there such a poor people in my midst, that is what you are struggling with, concerning to be saved? Oh, then you cannot deny, because when the Lord works, then we shall know it is different. But that people has so many riddles and so many questions. Oh, they have to pray, draw me, Lord, and we will run after thee. But now concerning that hiding place, we never read of an example in the scripture of poor and needy sinners who have come, that they were sent away. No, they were invited to enter. Thus in this evening hour, that goes against the universal redemptionists. Different shades upon this world, there are many that say that Christ has died for the whole human race. There are even those that go so far that say eventually that all people will be saved. But it is clear in the scriptures that it is not so. When we read the names of the children of God, we shall mention Matthew 1 verse 21. That was the message of the angel to Joseph, who had so many riddles concerning Mary. And then the angel has said unto Joseph, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people, not all people, but his people from their sins. When we think of John 10, where Christ is given to speak of himself as that good shepherd, and then there is spoken of his sheep who shall hear his voice. In the second place, when we read the scriptures, then those marks of those that fear the Lord and those that fear him not, they are clearly written out in the Bible. And then when we read our Bible, then God's word excludes us or includes us. Oh, what a comfort for many a child of God with all their questions and with all their riddles. So often they say with the poet, 'tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought, am I thine or am I not? How faith can be attacked. Or people of God, does the question never arise whether it is all wrong, and that at the end, with everything that I have experienced, everything that I have confessed, that on my deathbed I shall be given to experience that it is all amiss? But you shall say, is that biblical? Think of David, who has experienced so much, and in the Psalms has spoken so richly of his precious Savior. And then in Psalm 139, the last two verses, then he has begged the Lord, if it was still wrong, that the Lord would lead him on that everlasting way. When we think of the preaching of Jesus, how often with his parables, not so much a separation between the world and the church, that separation is very visible, but a separation concerning those where it seems to be right, think in Matthew 25 of the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Both virgins, both had lamps, and yet those foolish virgins, they came to a shut door. When we consider John 17 and other portions of scripture, the intercessory prayer of Christ, where it is written, I pray not for the world, but for those that have thou hast given me. Then in the scriptures, we read of many that have went lost. And let us consider, congregation, if Christ had now died for all people. And the Lord in the punishing of the reprobate in hell, then sin would be punished twice. Of course, those that believe that Christ has died for all people, they also have texts. And therefore it is so necessary that we compare Scripture with Scripture. We shall mention a few, not go into it so deeply. John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but of everlasting life. We study the Scripture, then that word world has many different meanings, must be understood in the context, then it is very clear that it is not the whole world, because it says, whosoever believeth on him, and who shall believe on him, and those that are wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 5, verse 18, then we read, the free gift came upon all men unto justification, unto life. Thus the free gift, all men. How are we to understand that text? Is it there not written that the free men shall come upon all men? And then in Romans 12, and then the Apostle Paul, then he is speaking of the two covenant heads. The covenant, the head of the covenant of works, Adam, representing all mankind. And so all men must perish. But now the head of the covenant of grace, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, representing all the elect. And then the apostle is given to declare that that free gift, it shall come upon all those whom Christ represents. One more text. In 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, that God will have all men to be saved. Then he is speaking of kings, those in high authority, that all people in all stations, different places, shall be saved. Our second thought, only those who are engrafted into Christ Jesus. And then our instructors, they have answered, and that answer that consists of two points, and the order is very important, because then the instructors, they have spoken only those who are engrafted into him. And secondly, and receive all his benefits by a true faith. Thus first to be engrafted, and then as a fruit thereof, to receive his benefits by faith. And now the order of those two points. That is so important, because there are many upon the face of the earth that turn it around, and that by their own free will exercise faith, and by that faith they are engrafted into Jesus Christ. That is not an error of the last century, but that is an heir that has existed already for many centuries. Oh, we have fallen so deep, and man is unwilling to bow under a sovereign God. That heir has especially been spread abroad in the year 400 by a Roman monk, born in England in 350, and has come to Jerusalem in the year 400. And that monk had a very respectful life, close to God's word, that outwardly, and that he has gained the respect of many. But that Pelagius has thought that man, when a little child is born, we would say children as a blank piece of paper, and not good and not evil, and thus without original sin. In the second place, that man was created mortal. It was not a result of our deep fallen Adam. In the third place, that man had a free will to choose for good and for evil. And he has even stated that Jesus has come more as an example to follow than to save sinners. But now the Lord, in his great faithfulness, then he has raised up a man, young people, you know who that is, fathers and mothers. Necessary that we read our church history, those three volumes of Rigdale, that we and our children are given to read them and reread them, because many of the errors that are prevalent in our day, they have existed in the church for many centuries. And our forefathers, what a strife they had to strive to defend the truth of God's word. Then the Lord has raised up Augustine, who was given to defend, it is true, still a few errors, but was given by the enlightening of the Holy Spirit to defend the doctrine of free and sovereign grace. Then that error of the free will of man, that has come to the foreground after the Reformation by a man named Arminius, called a Remonstrance. And to that end, the canons of Dort were written to defend the truth of godliness according to God's word. And then the Remonstrance, they had four special points. Then in the first place, they have denied the sovereign election of the Father. They did not deny election, but they said that the Lord has chosen a people dependent upon the foreknowledge that he knew who would be given to believe, and those who would be given to believe, those he has chosen. In the second place, they have counted the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ an unclean thing, where they have declared that Jesus has even died for the reprobate. In the third place, they have denied the necessity of the loving and the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Because when a man can still believe, and it is true, there are those we call them semi-Pelagians, they say that man is sick. Nevertheless, deny the saving administration of the work of the Holy Spirit. And in the fourth place, they have denied that man is dead in sins and trespasses, unable to choose for good, inclined to all evil, congregation. What do you think of those four points? What do you think of that last point? That man is unable to do good, that he is unable to believe, and that he is unable to choose for his salvation. What do you think of that doctrine? Do you hide behind it? That we try to excuse ourselves and that we may have an easy life because we say the Lord must be the first from the beginning to the end. We are unable to convert ourselves, and I shall be careful what I say because you are still faithful to come up to God's house with your families. Thus, you still have an impression that the Lord uses means, that we must use the means, that the Lord has promised to bless his means, but inwardly the thought that we are quite satisfied with that doctrine, I can do nothing, so I do not do anything. But now the work of the Lord, oh, the necessity of using the means of grace. Because the Lord has promised to gather a church. Ah, may we be given to ask the Lord of great things. Have examples in the Bible of whole families that were converted. Do you know family boys and girls? I think of Moses, Aaron, Miriam, and his parents. I think of those three siblings, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. I have read of Mary Winslow. They have come over to the States in the early years. And she has come with her 9 children before her husband. And when they have come to Massachusetts, then the Lord has taken away her infant child. That must have been her husband still in England. And she could not agree with it. But then a certain night, a sleepless night, then she was given to pace the floor. And then the Lord has come over and showed her that her little child was rejoicing before the throne and given her a promise that at the end her husband and her with all her children that they would meet together in heaven. Oh, she has even written in a letter, she was led far, that there were times of her grandchildren that they have come with such a soul's concern that she was put to shame with her lukewarmness. This congregation, may we be given to beg the Lord fervently that we may find, that we may experience that need and a place in that hiding place. And our instructors, they are given to use an example out of scriptures, as we have read out of John 15, that we must be grafted in. But let us first sing. Of Psalter 73, the stanzas 2, 3, 5, and 6. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. And what follows, Psalter 73, the stanzas 2, 3, 5, and 6. And know only those who are engrafted into Christ. Oh, what is it, boys and girls, to be grafted? Here, of course, we do not have so many orchards, maybe none. I shall try to explain it to you. Then let us picture two trees. One fruit tree that brings forth very bad fruit. And then on the other hand, we have another fruit tree that brings forth beautiful and tasty fruit. Let us call it an apple tree. And then sometime what happens, then that orchard farmer shall take a little twig off that good tree, and then he shall take it to the bad tree, and that bad tree to cut off most of its branches, not all of them. That shall happen later. And then with the knife, that little twig, to make it a point, and then to make a notch in that evil tree and place that little twig in that trunk and put a little gel around it. And then if that little twig may prosper, then that evil tree, that shall bear good fruit. That little twig shall grow more and more branches. All those evil branches, bad branches, shall be cut off. And then that evil tree shall be changed into a good tree. But now we read in Romans 11, verse 24, concerning that grafting which is spoken of in our Heidelberg Catechism, that it is contrary to nature. Thus then our instructors are speaking also of two different trees, that good tree, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that corrupt tree, that is Adam and all its descendants. And now by the grace of God, in the moment of the Lord's good pleasure, then the husbandman, we have heard out of John 15, that husbandman takes a very sharp knife. And then he takes that twig from Adam, and then he takes that twig, and then he engrafts it into the Lord Jesus Christ. And then that twig, because it is engrafted into that good tree, then it shall grow. It is true. That twig needs much pruning. Oh, that twig that is engrafted into that good stock, that sends many prayers up when that husbandman comes with his pruning shears. And then he begs the Lord that that little twig may stay in that twig. But the husbandman, in his wisdom, then he continues to prune that twig continually. We have heard it, that they shall be pruned, that they may bring forth more fruit. And that is now the example, the scriptural example that our instructors use. Thus in that grafting, then it shall never be, that is what the free willers say, that evil little branch, that it has power in itself to sever itself from Adam and to jump over into that good stock, into the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved and to bear good fruit. Thus then our instructors are given to stress, based upon God's holy word, that it is the Lord's work, the wonder of free and sovereign grace. Concerning that grafting, Thomas Boston has preached many sermons concerning the fourfold state of human nature, and that is written in a book. And that is a book which every family should have. And now the winter months are coming upon us, where especially in a farming community, I'm not saying in the summer season, that we must not instruct our children and speak and read. But of course there are times, because it has been said, when the sun is shining, we must make hay. But now in the winter time, then we have more time. And that is such a precious and scriptural book. And therefore families, read to your children and husbands and wives. We have many young married couples in the winter months sit together on the couch and take a good book and read it to one another and speak about it. That shall bind you together in a special way. And now Thomas Boston, when he writes those four states, the one is of innocence. The second is of our fallen state. In the third, by grace. And in the fourth, our eternal state. And when he speaks of that mystical union with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he is given to speak of John 15, of the work of the husbandman, and of that engrafting, then he speaks of 12 steps which the Spirit works in the life of a sinner. Profitable to read those 12 steps and to examine our hearts, for the people of God, where the wagon stands still, how far we can go along. But then at the end he writes, not to trouble those tender consciences, were already in that time he was given to say that many of the people of God were not able to speak of all those steps. But when the Lord works by his grace, when we may be given to read that fourfold state, then for the people of God, then they may be enabled to give and to examine themselves, and then it shall not all be a strange language. Of course, never that we take religious books. That is a danger in our day with all the religious writings, and that we read those religious books and that we leave the Bible closed. No, the scripture, that is our main textbook. We shall leave it for this evening hour, the Lord willing. And then the next Lord's Day, then we hope to continue with this Lord's Day. And then we can say a few more matters concerning what our 3 points speak of. The day of tomorrow has been set aside in our country. What a blessing and what a privilege that a day may still be set aside, a day of thanksgiving. Oh, for many, it shall be a day of thanksgiving. But without the God who has bestowed all those blessings, may it please the Lord to remember us all. Then we especially think of the family circles where there are empty places. The Lord uphold. The Lord remember. The Lord has also sent many a trial. A great storm, August 6th, in the evening hour, where many have suffered losses. two Lord's days ago, a snowstorm, also many losses. There are those that are afflicted. There are trials in many different ways. And nevertheless, still reasons to acknowledge the Lord. May we be given to beg of the Lord what we need to that end. May we be given to beg that it may not be a Thanksgiving day without the Lord, without a humble and without a broken heart. May it be given even in the midst of afflictions, but more so for whom the Lord has blessed so liberally. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? The Lord grant liberal hearts. Then I think, boys and girls, that on such a special day, that it is also fitting for you that you go to your piggy bank where the Lord has also blessed you, and to give something to the Lord of your own. May the Lord spare us through the night. May we be given to meet one another in the day of tomorrow. May the Lord grant what is necessary, and that the Lord may grant a good day. May he grant a spirit to that end. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may acknowledge thee that thou hast yet granted help, that thou hast yet granted a voice to speak. Wilt thou also do it in the day of tomorrow? Bring us together as poor beggars and poor sinners within the walls of thy house. May it please thee to be our thanking and praying high priest, with an impression what we deserve, and an impression of all thy goodness and of all thy faithfulness, our Lord, than we have heard in this day of a hiding place. O wilt thou work mightily and lovely with thy spirit, our Lord, do yet a great work amongst us and our children in the latter days of the earth. O wilt thou bring us safely to our dwellings. O wilt thou be the faithful keeper Israel, that may watch over us during the night hours. May we be given to see the light of another day. May we be found more to be a praying and a begging people, because it shall always be a prayer day that precedes a day of thanksgiving, Lord. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 422, the stanzas 5 and 6. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear thy voice in happiness abound, and what follows. Psalter 422, the stanzas 5 and 6. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.